or 8DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
CBS News brief. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin expressing regret over not informing the White House right away when he was hospitalized.
I did not handle this right. I should have told the president about my cancer diagnosis. I should have also told my team and the American public.
He says the U.S. will respond at the time of its choosing to the deadly drone attack in Jordan on Americans in uniform. Heavy rain in California causing flooding and other problems. Reporter Leslie Marin.
In San Clemente, crews worked quick to tarp the hillside, still sliding since it began last week. Metrolink rail service remains halted here.
The biggest concern is that there'll be more movement and it'll get down on the tracks and it'll undermine the tracks further.
CBS's Cammie McCormick tells us the World Health Organization forecasts a 77% jump in new yearly cancer cases by 2050.
The International Agency for Research on Cancer cites tobacco, alcohol, obesity, and air pollution as some of the top factors.
CBS News Brief, I'm Steve Kathan.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. State officials are urging the Wisconsin Supreme Court to reject Dean Phillips' lawsuit to be on the Wisconsin Democratic presidential primary ballot April 2nd. The Justice Department, representing the Wisconsin Elections Commission, says Phillips waited too long. Absentee ballots have to be mailed to overseas and military voters in 2 weeks. The universities of Wisconsin may not be done closing in-person classes at two-year branch campuses.
I anticipate there will be more two-year campuses closed down. It's going to be painful, though. I think Jay and the Board of Regents are doing the best job possible.
Governor Evers speaking at a WISP politics luncheon this week. A total of 4 two-year colleges will stop offering in-person classes after this spring. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. A dense fog warning is in effect until 10 a.m. this morning in Wood, Portage, Marathon, and Wapaka counties. Be sure to turn your headlights on and leave plenty of distance between you and the car you're following. Expect to have low visibility and possibly hazardous conditions. Dense fog can freeze on some pavement and make roads very slick. Officials advise that you make sure your headlights are turned on, not just on auto, but actually turn them on this morning. County Highway U will be closed at the railroad track on Monday in the town of Grand Rapids. The closing will begin at 8 a.m. on Monday, February 5th. The road will be closed between State Highway 54 and Forest View Drive. The railroad will be working on the crossing. They expect to complete the work by 2 p.m. the same day. You'll need to plan a detour around that area on Monday. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Say it with me, the Bucks in six. And you could catch every play, every score, every Milwaukee Bucks game on locally grown radio, WFHR, 1320 AM, 97.5 FM. Your station for the Milwaukee Bucks, your hometown radio refreshed. Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. We want to hear from you there, too. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
The Bucks lose in Portland. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks came back but could not score at the end. Giannis missing from the foul line with only a second to play. Mark Jones on ESPN.
You see so many players forget they have to hit the rim. It comes off, tipped out, but it goes to Brogdon. And that's it. Game over.
The final, the Trailblazers 119, the Bucks 116. Milwaukee's Damian Lillard, 25 points in his return to Portland.
You know, I came in, I was like, man, I'm actually going to the visitor's locker room. You didn't really know where I was going, honestly.
Bucks head coach Doc Rivers.
Listen, these games are tough games. The home team always wants to beat the star coming back. That's 100%, and you can see in their jubilation.
NFL, the Packers have a new defensive coordinator. He is Jeff Hafley, the 44-year-old head coach at Boston College, where he led the Eagles to bowl games in 3 out of 4 years. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Oh. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The sunshine is out,
and we're trying to tap record highs today into the mid-40s. However, the warmth will be brief. We've got a weak cold front pushing in, dropping our temperatures to the mid-30s by early this evening. We'll also see more clouds build in as lows fall to the mid-20s. Right now, 42.
Valentine's Day is almost here, and on 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, we want to celebrate those once-in-a-lifetime relationships. Tell us how you met, struggles you've conquered, or what it is that makes them the one. Share your story on our Facebook page for a chance to win goodies, like a two-night stay at Hotel Mead or gifts from Family Natural Foods. This year, show your loved ones just how much they're loved, and maybe win a getaway on us. With love from 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Fear you're missing out when you miss our conversation.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio. Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is Thursday, February 1st, 2024, 6 minutes past the hour of 12 noon. A happy Thursday to everyone. Overcast skies here high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square in downtown Madison. Mr. Zommers, somebody observed on the stream before we got going here, because we stream slightly earlier than we go on the air over the broadcast airwaves. They said, well, Todd's wearing a little dressed up today, has a sweater and a collared shirt on. Well, my flannels are collared, but yes, I'm immediately after the show, I am making a rare appearance back at the Wisconsin State Capitol, somewhere where I worked for several years. It's a beautiful building, but I'm going up to the Capitol and speaking to a group of folks who are there lobbying. It's a big lobby day, and we have been invited to Civic Media, and so I'm going to represent the company. So I have to look a little dressed up.
Get a little spiffy.
I clean up fairly well, as they say. So, as soon as the show is over, I'm going up to the Capitol, and we're talking about Civic Media to folks today. I'm talking about the app, not so new, but improved.
Handing out some brochures.
We have some sexy brochures. Yes, very, very swanky.
Full color.
That's right. I am not on the brochure, thank goodness. But, it shows a map of all of our stations, up to 20 stations and growing now across the Civic Media Radio Network. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing well, you know, nothing too crazy, just another day, but the first day of February.
You have one of my favorite shirts on that you wear, Cage the Elephant, which to me looks like, because I'm old, looks like Bozo the Clown from WGN.
No, that's not entirely inaccurate. I mean, I always pictured it as more of kind of an impressionistic painting kind of thing.
Yes.
Where it's a face that's just all jumbled up.
That's probably a better take on it. But the hair, the blue hair that sticks out like that. Kind of what Bozo...
Oh, that's just stripes behind it.
Oh, see, to me, it looks like the hair.
That's fair. See, it's the album cover of Melophobia, their third album. And on the album cover, those stripes are black and clearly in the background. Mm. On the shirt, they're blue. So I see why it looks like hair. And now that I look at it in that way, it does look like a weird clown. You
know. And of course, I've lost my hair. And so I'm jealous of anybody with hair, including Bozo the Clown. Anyway, here's what is coming up on the show today. One of our favorite guests is coming back on the show. It's been a while. He's been busy with the holidays, and he is carving out time in hour number two at 1:30. John Roach. He is a writer, a screenplay writer, a Renaissance man, an entrepreneur, a sports dude, an all-around great guy. John Roach. I've said this before. One of my deans at UW Richland, Dion Kempthorne, a great guy, and Dion is a huge fan of Mark Twain. And I had him for a class
Mark Twain?
No, Dion Kempthorne. But he's Dion Kempthorne, former professor and dean at UW Richland, is one of those people where you could listen to him read a phone book and it would be entertaining because of the his voice is smooth like butter. He always has an insightful, pithy, interesting story. And to me, John Roach is one of those other people like Dion Kempthorne, who just has the voice you can listen to with a glass of brandy or a cup of coffee or whatever your beverage is and sit there and listen. So John Roach is going to be stopping by. We're going to get his take on all this Swifty versus old white guy madness that's going on, continues. We had a whole show on it yesterday. But we'll get his take on that. But we're also going to move on and talk a little bit about Wisconsin basketball. Have a big game tonight down in Nebraska. And then, of course, coming up this weekend, they will take on Purdue. So John will give us his take on that. And also just whatever else is on his mind. Again, he's one of those kind of people, and I think we all have them in our life, where you can bump into him at Walmart or the grocery store or the coffee clutch and say, John, how you doing?
Next thing you know, 2 hours later.
Exactly right. And you're thoroughly entertained. The man is intelligent. He always has a great take. So John Roach will be coming up at 1:30. Also, my former party, the Republicans, the RNC, Republican National Committee, under the leadership or misleadership of Rona McDaniel. I almost said the other name she doesn't like, Romney. She dropped it after Mitch became less popular. When Mitch was running for president, she always went by Rona Romney McDaniel because it's like her uncle or something. But then when Mitch became, in Republican circles, Trump circles, a rhino, Republican in name only, she dropped the Romney part. So she goes by Rona McDaniel now. And anyway, under her leadership, they have continued to lose money, and yet they continue to put her in charge. The new receipts are out. Republican Party National Committee is down to one of its lowest balances ever. The party is running out of money. And look, as someone who is a former Republican, our friends listening at WAUK in Waukesha and in Milwaukee, here's what happens on these things like the Republican National Committee. They say, oh, we're going to have our national convention in Milwaukee. Everybody says, this is fantastic. And, you know, normally speaking, it is because it gets the city a lot of press. The media comes in there. They tell people how great Milwaukee is. I'm all for that. But if you are a small business owner in Milwaukee, and this is serious, make sure you get paid up front for any services you are going to contract with Republican National Committee. Because here's what happens. They come in and say, we're the Republican National Committee. You know, just put it on our bill. I'll just charge it. And we'll just send us a receipt. It will be weeks, if not months, if ever, before you get paid. So make sure you get a credit card and run that son of a gun or get paid up front before you accept anything for the Republican National, any work they want you to do. Now, other outside third-party vendors, you know, probably fine. But if you're dealing with the party or the Trump campaign, assuming that the nominee is going to be Trump, get paid up front. I'll more on that a little bit later. That's where we were going to start. But like all of you, I loved listening to our great news team here at Civic Media. Terry Bell, our news director, had a story just before we came on the air. I said, Zomers, pull that up. And of course, he is fantastic, and he did. Governor Tony Evers has finally commented on what's happening to the University of Wisconsin system and the closure. We are now at 4, Richland, Washington County, Fond du Lac, and Marinette. Campuses that are either totally closed or will be soon. And today, apparently, Governor Evers finally had something to say on it. This is what he said.
Oh, boy, Mr. Education, something to say about the closing schools. I wonder what it is.
I anticipate there will be more two-year campuses closed down. It's going to be painful, though. I think Jay and the Board of Regents are doing the best job possible.
Okay, a couple of things here. The governor of the state of Wisconsin, as Mr. Zomers noted, 3 times elected the state school superintendent of this state, is now saying on the record that more two-year campuses are going to be closed in this state. And other than saying it's going to be tough, He goes on to pour salt into the wound by saying that Jay Rothman, in my opinion, the incompetent president of the University of Wisconsin system and the border regents are doing a good job handling it.
Well, he specifically said the best they can.
Well, the best they can.
In that, he may be correct.
You're right. Maybe that's fair. The best they can, which isn't very damn good. I'm a little shook by this, quite frankly, because we have, by the way, invited Mr. Zommer, sent an official request through his office. We've invited the governor to come on this show, Governor Evers, to talk about this specifically. We have not heard back, right?
Correct.
To date, we have not heard back. I have been to campuses. We did a 3-hour show from UW Richland over a year ago. We had the dean of the UW Stevens Point at Wausau campus on in Marshfield last week. Wonderful person, by the way, and we appreciate her coming on. And look, we didn't talk a lot about the closures because that's beyond her scope. We wanted to uplift the 2-year campus at Wausau and Marshfield. But the fact that Jay Rothman continues to not hold open town hall meetings in communities where he is closing campuses is atrocious to me. These are public universities with public money. And this line about, well, enrollment keeps falling. They don't tell you the flip side of the 45 record. I know a lot of people won't get that reference. The flip side is that the legislature is not funding the University of Wisconsin system, and there is terrible leadership at the top. Therefore, recruitment levels and actual studies of how to adapt while keeping campuses open and still be profitable is not happening. Case in point, Richland Center. The person who did the recruitment retired. They were not allowed to rehire that position. The local foundation, who had $600,000 in private money, said, we will hire a recruiter. And UW-Platteville and Jay Rothman's system said no, and we have never gotten a reason why. And then they say, well, geez, recruitment's gone down. You have to tell the entire story if you're going to talk about recruitment numbers. 844-967-2789. Let's go quickly on the phones. Mark calling in from Prairie du Sac. Mark, what say you?
Yeah, it's a shame that they're closing down these 2-year campuses. They should actually be expanding the program to expand, you know, the needs for our workforces in the future. I mean, I was thinking about this, that, and maybe, you know, we've gone back to, and I don't know what the status is now for, like, kids back in grade school. Maybe they don't do them anymore, but I can remember, and I had shop class all 3 years, so 7th, 8th, and 9th grade when I was in junior high is what they had it structured back then.
Sure.
I mean, and actually, in 9th grade, we had the opportunity to cast aluminum. That it was just, and it's just a shame that they're. But and they talk about the growing needs of our workforce. I mean, either they have to expand the technical expertise they're offering education in high schools, but then expand the 2-year campuses and actually fund them. I mean, it's a bloody shame when we've got $4 billion sitting in the coffers as a surplus that we're closing down any of these campuses at all.
Yeah.
And to start making industry pay for the education that they need to have workers. Well, then they have to start funding the system that provides them with those workers.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Mark, thanks so much. Up against the clock here. When we come back, more on this. Tony Evers thinks that Jay Rothman's system and the regents are doing as best they can. Well, they need to do better or get rid of them. And where's the Democratic outrage? Back with more after this on the other side. It's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's no joke. A big announcement naming Radetzky's No Joke Dairy near Stratford as a future host of the state's Farm Technology Days.
Technology sharing, celebration of agriculture.
Matt Lippert with the UW Division of Extension. He says the Radetzky Farm is operated by the family's fifth generation and looks forward to opening their doors to the public.
Certainly an honor. Family success. success and modernization and history and pride in what they're doing. So yeah, it's a very fun event.
An event that moves to a different part of the state every year.
Other states also have similar events, but ours is one of the very few that actually does rotate. Goes to different counties, so obviously different host farms.
It could bring more than 40,000 people to the central Wisconsin area in the summer of 2026. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome back to the Tallaball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, 20 past after the hour of 12 noon. Best you can, is that what they're saying there, Mr. Zobers?
Yeah, you can try the best you can. The best you can is good enough. But if you listen to the tone of the song, I don't think they believe it.
No. Governor Tony Evers, we just had this, our crack news staff here at Civic Media, getting the quote from the governor, either last night or this morning, I'm not sure which, saying that he thinks that Jay Rothman and the Board of Regents are doing the best they can with higher education. And he himself is now on the record. The governor of Wisconsin is on the record as saying there will be more closures of two-year campuses across the state to add to Richland, Washington County, Fond du Lac, and Marinette. And again, I only say this not to be braggadocious, but to drive home the point. I wasn't just saying stuff for ratings or to be over the top. A year ago, last November, we were in Richland Center doing a three-hour show on the, they called it suspension of classes at Richland campus. Weren't going to close it, just the suspension of classes. And we had on Kathy Sandine, the last person to serve as dean of the UW Colleges, which is what the 2 years used to be called when they were independent. She also oversaw UW Extension. Think of the necessity and the work that Extension offices do all over the state. And she said when she was dean, or when she was a chancellor of the colleges, she had put together a plan to recognize that higher education was changing, that enrollments in some cases were going down, and that the system needed to adapt. Consolidation at some point, some online classes, but she put it all together, had a marketing plan, and she was not going to close one single two-year campus. And the president at the time, Ray Cross, canned it. Wouldn't let it see the light of day. A few months later, his plan came out, which we found out was no plan at all. His plan was to throw them all together, put the 2 years back under the 4 years. He literally told the four-year chancellors, you're either going to sink or swim. That was the plan. And that is why enrollments have continued to fall. And no one seems to have the courage to talk about this or to ask this question. And look, I'm a Tony Evers supporter. I'm glad he's the governor because we'd be Texas and Florida without him politically. But I'm disappointed in Tony Evers on this. There's something going on that the education governor is supporting these closures and seems to have almost no compassion, seems to have no plan. And then you have Republicans like Howard Markline, whose own district included the Richland campus. He's in charge of the money, the budget, the Joint Finance Committee. As Mark pointed out, there is a $4 billion surplus in the state. And no one wants to talk about why we're not recruiting people and actually adapting to higher education without closing campuses. And the economic impact on these communities is in the millions, plural. Richland Center, $7 to $8 million impact. And Republicans say, well, here's a couple of million to help you out. 844-967-2789. Let's go to Mike in Kenosha. Mike, thanks for holding. What say you?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it very much. I just want to remind you, both yourself and the audience, that these austerity practices that, you know, the right wingers continuously throw at us has basically been all around our infrastructure, whether it's education infrastructure, whether it's democracy infrastructure, whether it's roads and bridges and broadband and everything else. It, you know, they are shrinking a government to the size that we're small enough to drown in the bathtub. We've heard them say that over and over. So it's nothing new. It breaks my heart because just about every dollar that you spend in infrastructure, you get a dollar and a half or more back. It is something, especially in a two-year school, specifically in this case, that is a much-needed step in between high school and college. Yeah. And quite frankly, it fits like a glove in a lot of these smaller markets.
I agree with you, Mike. As a former Republican, I saw this. You're right. There's been an attack on funding for higher education and infrastructure for Republicans for years. It preceded Tony Evers. But my question is, why is Tony Evers not speaking out about this in a stronger way instead of going along with it? And where is all of the anger and angst from the progressive Democrats in the legislature who went apoplectic over DEI, which I was right there with them. But on this, when it affects mostly rural Wisconsin, they are silent as a stone.
Our politics, unfortunately, have degraded to the point where instead of being bold and assertive and confident when you're stating a position, you almost have to be guarded and, you know, look around you and see who's listening because of the attacks that are imminent from the opposition. When our system of democracy is shunning public servants and embracing self-servants, we need to pivot, and we need to pivot quickly. So that's my response to your specific question. But just want to remind people, whether it's roads and bridges, whether it's education, whether it's, I mean, name it. They've been in the star of the beast mode for a long time, and that's not going to be changing until they are removed from office.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. Mike in Kenosha, 844-967-2789. Let's go up north to one of the great cities that has a four-year campus, UW-Eau Claire. Gene in Eau Claire, thanks for calling. What say you?
I want to add some more issues to that list that people, Democrats primarily, are working with right now, especially the governor, and that's the health care crisis on our side of the state. With two major hospitals closing down within a couple months, a big clinic operation closing down, just found out the day they were going to close with no heads up. None of our representatives or governor or anybody knew anything about it, and that's a major crisis because Chippewa Falls is losing its hospital and some health care clinics that was associated with the hospital that just had expanded, and due to funding and due to, you know, Republicans not giving Medicaid funds, it also comes in with it, COVID, and also one of the facilities, well, they were all hacked, and there was a while they couldn't even get their medical records. So there's a lot of stuff going on, and believe you me, I support the universities, but they got everybody strung out, women's issues, abortion issues.
I appreciate your comments, as always, Gene, and I agree with you. This hospital crisis is a huge thing. We're going to spend more time with this, and Pat Kreitlow has as well. But, I mean, don't you think that the governor and Democrats have some responsibility to speak out on this at least and not just roll over and go along with it?
What can he do? I mean, look at they're doing the redistricting, and he's involved in that. I don't know how the people that are leaders, like our governor, with all of the attacks on every single structure that we have, it's unbelievable. I mean, I have notebooks full of all of the things that these people are dealing with. They're attacking left and right on all of the things that all the taxpayers.
Gene, I'm up against. I always appreciate it. I'm up against the clock right now. We've got to run more on the other side. Lee, don't go anywhere. We'll take your call on the other side. It's the Todd Lovell Show on the Civic Media Ready Network.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Valentine's Day is almost here, and on 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, we want to celebrate those once-in-a-lifetime relationships. Tell us how you met, struggles you've conquered, or what it is that makes them the one. Share your story on our Facebook page for a chance to win goodies, like a two-night stay at Hotel Mead or gifts from Family Natural Foods. This can show your loved ones just how much they're loved, and maybe win a getaway on us. With love from 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
The latest cattle report from USDA shows that the cattle and calves inventory continues to decline in the current cattle cycle. Inventory peaked in 2019, and today we're at historic lows. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you on a Thursday. The National Agricultural Statistics Service says that the last time cattle inventory was this low was in 1951. If you're like me and wondering what this is going to do to beef prices at the store, an industry expert joins us today to tell us not to be alarmed. Kurt Larson is the president and CEO of Equity Cooperative Livestock Sales Association. He gives consumers an outlook for retail beef prices amidst low cattle supply.
Well, I mean, it depends on what the demand is. Obviously, if there's product to be moved, the retailers get creative on how to do that. So, it depends on what cut you're looking for. You know, some of those high demand cuts are gonna continue to hold their value. Some of the maybe lesser demanded cuts, they're still going to see some sales on those. And it's just a matter of what your appetite's for. And if you're willing to be a little bit flexible, I'm sure there will be some deals out there to be had.
Kurt Larson along with us, president and CEO of Equity Cooperative Livestock Sales Association. Stick around for a look at your midday commodity markets up next.
The fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yockey will be broadcasting live from the Wisconsin Corn Soy Expo on Thursday, February 1st with the DeLong Company. Stop by booth 421 and 423 to learn about the DeLong Company's new crop insurance division. As an independent agency, their crop insurance team has decades of experience and are able to find the right coverage for your fields. Stop by 421 and 423 at Corn Soy Expo or visit DelcoCropInsurance.com. Are you being offered a complete seed treatment package? If your seed treatment doesn't help against soybean diseases like white mold, sudden death syndrome, and rhizoctonia, then it's not complete. Heads Up Seed Treatment offers protection against all of these diseases through its unique mode of action, systemic acquired resistance. Don't get caught off guard in 2024. Get the best defense against the unpredictability of each season by completing your seed treatment package with Heads Up. Visit headsupst.com to learn more.
From Chicago, cash corn is down a penny and a half at 4.46 and three quarters. December new crop corn is trading down a penny and three quarters at 4.78 and a quarter. Cash beans are down 16 and a quarter cents at 12.06 a bushel. November new crop beans are trading down 12 and a quarter cents at 11.87 and a half. The only thing trading up today is July new crop wheat that's up 3 1/4 cents at 6.13 and a half. The February Class 3 milk contract is trading down 4 cents at 16.06 a hundredweight. The March contract is down 6 cents at 16.85. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The sunshine is out,
and we're trying to tap record highs today into the mid-40s. However, the warmth will be brief. We've got a weak cold front pushing in, dropping our temperatures to the mid-30s by early this evening. We'll also see more clouds build in as lows fall to the mid-20s. It's 46 degrees at our studios.
The D3.
D3 right of the circle. Badgers take the lead.
The throwdown.
Down the lane and sends it in. And one.
The thrilling victory.
Badgers win it. Oh, did they dig in defensively tonight?
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Fakes the three. Sidesteps left for three in the lead. He hit it.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Drives the lane. Draw and kick. Right corner. Three. Got it again.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tylo Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is February 1st, 2024, Thursday, Groundhog Eve, Mr. Zommers. Tomorrow is one of my favorite holidays, Groundhog Day.
And unfortunately, you won't be here to celebrate.
I won't be. Trivi Olson's going to be guest hosting tomorrow, but we'll have some Groundhog news before the show is over. Right now, talking about issues coming back over and over like Groundhog Day, this issue of the two-year campuses of the University of Wisconsin system, we are now at four that have been closed or in the process thereof. Richland, Washington County, Fond du Lac, and Marinette. And today, the governor of the state of Wisconsin, Tony Evers, three times elected state school superintendent of public schools, had this to say.
I anticipate there will be more two-year campuses closed down. It's going to be painful, though. I think Jay and the Board of Regents are doing the best job possible.
Jay Rothman, the president of the University of Wisconsin system, the Board of Regents are doing the best job possible. As Mr. Zommer said, he might be telling the truth. They might not be possible of doing any better. I just think this is atrocious. And again, I'm thankful Governor Evers is our governor. I'm a supporter of him. But on this one, he's getting it wrong. And where are the Democrats? Where are all of the liberal progressive Democrats who scream bloody murder when it's an issue they care about in higher ed, but so far silent on the dismantling of the Wisconsin idea, which is that the borders of our state are the borders of our university. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Lee, back in Richland County in Yuba. Appreciate you holding on, Lee. What say you?
Well, first off, I want to tell you how much I love your show and all the topics that you bring up that are really pertinent. And I totally agree that Evers ought to get off his neutral position and really fight for furthering education in this state. You're talking about the Wisconsin idea. And boy, that, you know, that's something we're really missing. And I'm sorry that the Republicans in the past wanted to privatize everything, because they're really putting all of our educational systems in jeopardy.
Yeah.
And they're providing monies for parochial and private schools, and that's wrong. It's just flat out wrong. And Evers ought to speak up. Evers ought to fight for this. I don't think the Board of Regents are doing their job. They're not doing it properly. I miss the progressive days. But anyways, I thank you so much for what you're bringing up. And unless you've got a question for me, I'm going to hang up.
Well, I appreciate the comments, first of all. But real, just quickly before you, you're in Richland County, Yuba, a great little burg in Richland County. Just tell folks in your own words, living there, what the closure of the Richland campus means for the community, in your words.
It means an awful lot to the community. I've gone to a number of these sessions with Mark Klein, and of course, all they ever have are listening sessions. They never will say much except for maybe a couple comments. They pretend to kind of scribble some words down, but the campus was kind of the gem of this community. A lot of our youth would remain here for 2 years and, you know, we're able to save up money and live at home and do things here locally. But right now, they're forced to leave this community. And I, as an elder at this point, I'm 80 years old and I'm a former educator. My wife and I enjoyed taking classes there.
Mm-hmm.
They offered adult classes. They offered classes for youth. They had theater there. They had various groups and committees that would meet there. And it was kind of a central spot to the entire community. And now that we've lost it and others are going to lose it as well, I think this is a travesty. This is something that, you know, with the billions of dollars we've got left over, you know, these guys are just really misusing our money.
Yeah.
And the community suffers tremendously from this loss. And now we're stuck with a building. And we're stuck with a contract that they wiggle their way out of. You know, so we're going to suffer financially again. And our school district here is looking for a $27 million agreement with the community to raise money for repairs and stuff for the schools. And, you know, these Republicans, Markline, are just sitting on this money when there's so much that could be done that they just, you know, these guys are just brainless twits.
I couldn't have said it better, Lee. You nailed it. Thank you so much, Lee in Yuba and Richland County. He's right. And again, I'm going after, you know, the Democrats a little bit here because I think they deserve it. But the Republicans are not without fault by a long shot. They're the ones that haven't been funding it. We wouldn't be here if it weren't for the lack of funding from Republican legislatures. And as Lee pointed out, Howard Markline, who I was in the room when he addressed over 100 people in Richland County, and they said, please give us a couple of million, $3 million to save our campus, to keep it going. Well, he said, quote, there's just no money. There's just no money, unquote. And now they have money, $2 million per community to close the campuses. All right? The money is there. It is a choice not to use it to support public higher education. 844-967-2789. Quickly on the text line first, Mary listening in Mount Horeb says, I just left a message stating my concern about our higher ed in our state with my representative, Diane Hesselbein. Is there a way we can get a civic media campaign going to contact Governor Evers? What would be a good phone number, email to reach him? Mr. Zomers, I know you have a public number you'll look up and you can pass on to us.
I'll find the phone number. For now, what I do have, I don't believe there's just an email address you can get through his website, but if you go to evers.wi.gov, so evers.wi.gov, and you click on connect, there's a tab for voice your opinion, and then it has you put in, you know, your name, phone number, your address, so they know you're really a Wisconsinite, and then what your opinions to share with Evers are. So right. You can at least send them an email-ish message that way.
And I would just encourage, as a former staffer, you know, be positive. You could say, look, be polite. Don't call names and just say, you know, whatever. Just say, look, this is why we should save this. Please get engaged. Please defend this. 844-967-2789. Let's go to Bill listening in Oconomowoc. Bill, thanks for listening. What say you?
I can't believe the other gentleman said it right. These twits that will not move a muscle to give us our taxpayer money that they're hoarding in this surplus they talk about. That's our money, not their money. Our money goes for public interest. Public education is number one in public interest. You can't have a great community if you don't fund public education. But here's where they could step on those twits' toes. We have to stop giving any public money to private schools, because if that continues, then they have to drop their tax-free status. Mm-hmm. Taxpayers cannot afford in this state to fund public or private education. That's just insanity.
Yeah.
And if nobody wants to take the ball and run with it, I think the last text that you just talked about, we could create something right through civic media to go to the governor and say, look, here's what you have to do, not what you want to do. You have to. He is a big proponent for public education.
Yes,
I know he is.
I know he is, too.
He has the ability and the leverage to leverage these people and say, if you don't work with me, I'll make it a governor edict. That we temporary, our public education is in dire straits due to Scott Walker and the way he gutted the institutions. We're going to have to hold you people accountable, and the money has to come back in. That's your only alternative, which really isn't an alternative. It's a way of getting it done. Thanks for letting me vet my spleen.
Hey, always a pleasure, Bill. Thanks for listening down there in beautiful Oconomowoc. 844-967-2789.
And we do have that phone number, so if you want to email the governor's office, again, evers.wi.gov, and click on connect and voice your opinion. Otherwise, for a phone number, you can call their office at 608-266-1212. That's 608-266-1212.
Thank you, Mr. Somers, as always, for the fine work. Let's go back to the phone lines, 844-967-2789. Tony, listening in beautiful Wisconsin Rapids at WFHR up there in beautiful Rapids. Tony, thanks for listening in. What say you?
Hi, boy. I haven't had a chance to listen to your whole show just because of work, but the last two callers really nailed it on the head. And with that last interview, I heard an excerpt with Evers saying something along the lines of the border regents are doing an excellent job. I about slammed on my brakes and just was so infuriated.
Right.
Especially with, well, and I have two teenage, one of them's graduating this spring, high school, and I've been doing nothing but encouraging at least 2 years of college, local, you know, mm-hmm. or trade or whatever. And these opportunities are diminishing, and it's just infuriating and maddening. Not everybody's built for 4 years at UW or whatever. It's just a great, great loss, and all these opportunities and chances are being ripped away from our children.
Yeah. Tony, I could
not... Let alone the communities and everything else.
I couldn't agree more. I really appreciate listening up there in Wisconsin Rapids. Have a good day, and don't be too upset. Drive safely. Don't slam the brakes on too hard there, but appreciate listening. Our great station up there, WFHR, in the middle of the state in Wisconsin Rapids. Tony brings up a great point, and I've said this before. I'll say it again, that our two-year UW public schools are not just a great deal for the students. If they're a younger person, probably the parents are helping pay this. So the student might be able to live at home or in a cheaper housing than Madison or La Crosse or Green Bay or Milwaukee. And it's more affordable for if it's a returning student. If it's a person who's been out in the workforce for a while and wants to return to get or finish their degree, the two-year colleges are also a great deal for them. It's cheaper to get your education there. It's still a high quality, but financially cheaper. But here's the thing. Our two-year colleges are also a great deal for the University of Wisconsin system and the Wisconsin taxpayer. The number of staff and our two-year campuses across the state is much, much, much smaller. And the payroll, much, much, much smaller than our 4 years. And at most of these two-year, a lot of people don't know this, at most of the two-year campuses, it is a joint venture between the state of Wisconsin and the county. All right? The county actually owns the buildings and does most of the maintenance. That comes off the local county tax roll. The professors, the staff, the books, the heat, that sort of thing, that's paid for by the system. So when the State Building Commission, the legislature and the governor, and they oversee a lot of the infrastructure, most of the 2 years, that's not handled by UW system, you know, or tax money. That's a local county thing. So not only are the two-year campuses a great deal for those paying for an education, they're a great deal for the taxpayer as well. And the fact that Jay Rothman and the Board of Regents are not talking about this, the fact that they're sitting on the ivory tower of the 17th floor of Van Nuys in Madison, looking down on us like Yertle the Turtle, is atrocious. And they are breaking the trust of the public. The University of Wisconsin system is a public university. But yet they don't want to go out and talk to the public or listen to the public before they make these life-altering changes to our communities across Wisconsin. And now the governor of Wisconsin is on the record as saying there's more to come. We'll keep following this. Appreciate your phone calls as well. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Back on the other side. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Wow. This is Locally Grown Radio, WFHR.
It's another beautiful day. The folks at El Cafe in Port Edwards are ready to cook up some great food for your bellies and brew some hot coffee for your get up and go. For breakfast, why not try the El Cafe omelet with eggs, chorizo, cheese, tomato, onion, and peppers, plus fruit and toaster pancakes? For lunch, try the cheese curd burger with french fries or fruit. Why not start your meal with a cup or bowl of homemade chicken dumpling or chili? And for dessert, how about a slice of pie? It all sounds so good, you gotta get to El Cafe in Port Edwards. Taste the difference today.
At One Rose Greenhouse in Wisconsin Rapids, when we think Valentine's Day, we think one rose or a dozen. You love them. From the show-stopping table centerpieces, the variety of long-stem roses, bouquets, and more, your loved one will not be disappointed. Plus, enter your love story on their Facebook page for a chance to win a bouquet for your honey. This Valentine's Day, stop by One Rose Greenhouse on Samson Street in Wisconsin Rapids for all your flower needs. And remember, one rose or a dozen. Locally Grown Radio, WFHR.
My bills are all due, and the babies need shoes, but I'm busted. Cotton is down to a quarter a pound, and I'm busted. I got a cow that went dry, and a hen that won't lay. A big stack of bills that get bigger each day. The county will haul my belongings away. I'm busted.
Welcome back to the Town Hall Bulls Show on the Civic Media Ready Network. 9 now before the hour of 1 o'clock. Mr. Zomers, I'm always up for some Johnny Cash, but, you know, just the finances are busted.
There's just no money. Can't pay for it. We're busted. We definitely don't have a $4 billion surplus. Don't look at that.
Right. You would think he likes to brag about Howard Markline, the co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee.
Being a CPA.
He's a CPA. He likes to tell people he's a CPA. You know,
because that means he's smart. So don't let him fool you when he says, I just can't do anything.
He's a CPA and he enjoys a good trophy wife. So, I mean, but I guess that's Howard Markline for you. Anyway, we'll keep following this. And by the way, just to put a button on the governor saying there's going to be more closures of two-year campuses. If you don't think that this could visit your community, whether you're a two- or four-year campus, think again. Think again. Every public university in this state is potentially on the chopping block with the exception of UW-Madison and maybe UW-Milwaukee. The rest are fair game. You heard it here first. Moving on, the Republican National Committee. Of course, many of you know, if you're a regular listener to this show, I am a former Republican in the party for almost 30 years, left in 2011 over voter rights issues, voter suppression issues. But I still, you know, I'm familiar. I was a large part of it for a long time. And here now, the receipts have been released this morning, at least in part. The Republican National Committee is essentially broke. Very good. I like that. I'm not making this up. They are in bad shape right now when it comes to their finances. And this is not new news to some people, by the way. But the Republican Party is not doing well at all. It dates back, let's look at this Newsweek's article, from December 21st of last year. So just over a month ago. Headline, Republicans are running out of money. The amount of money that the Republican National Committee, RNC, had on hand for spending at the end of November was the lowest bank balance it has had at that point in any year since 2016, according to disclosures of the Federal Election Commission, FEC. A filing on Wednesday, the GOP governing body revealed it had $9.9 million to spend as of November 30th, which is less than half of what it had to work with when Donald Trump was contesting for his first presidential election. So I just wanted to set that up. That this is, you know, this is what the numbers today are not necessarily new here. All right. So today, the new numbers come out here, and it ain't good. The receipts and ending cash on hand figures for the RNC for January of 2016 to December of 2023, those were released, and they've only gone down. They've gotten worse. All right. As time has gone on. And you've heard me talk about this before if you're a regular listener. In politics, if you're a candidate, particularly for Congress or president, there are two numbers that contributors or potential contributors want to know. One, what are your poll numbers? Two, what is your COH, which stands for cash on hand? Not how much you raised, but how much you have cash on hand. The Republican National Committee's year-ending filing reveals it had the worst fundraising year since 2013 in absolute dollars, and its worst since 1993 if you account for inflation-adjusted figures. The Republican Party of National Committee. Now you think, well, this sounds not too bad. It raised $87.2 million. RNC raised $87.2 million, but it spent $93.5 million and had just over $8 million cash on hand with $1.8 million in debt. Now, what do we hear from Republicans? We have to run our country like we run our checkbooks. Kitchen table economy. You can't spend more than you bring in. Favorite line of Republicans. Their national committee raised $87.2 million and it spent $93.5. Now look, I am not great at math, but I can tell you $93.5 million is more than $87.2 million. The Republican Party is in trouble, you guys. They're in trouble in terms of their numbers. They're in trouble of the money that they're raising or not raising. And let me just go down through, because I have these in front of me, the cash on hand balance. I got to, because my old aging eyes here, I got to pick this computer up and get it even closer because it's very fine print. And these are numbers that the Republican National Committee filed with the FEC, Federal Election Committee. So right now they're at a little over $8 million cash on hand. Last year at this time, it was almost 10. The year before that, nine. You have to go all the way down until, let's just pick a year here, 07. 07, they finished at $33 million cash on hand. When you go down there, there was a point where the Republican Party had $70 million, 7-0, cash on hand back in 2021. They have continued to fall and falter. And it looks like, geez, when you attack women's healthcare rights, when you attack LGBTQ people to live, it doesn't bode well. And people say, well, Joe Biden's in trouble. It's working fine. Trump's going to be reelected. I've told you this before. I don't watch a lot of Fox News. But here's something that might surprise some of you. Fox News polling is a kind of a separate entity over there, and they usually get it just about right. The Fox News poll people have a new poll out today. A hypothetical 2024 election matchup. In December, it was Biden 47, Trump 46. What is it now? We'll tell you on the other side. You don't want to miss it. It's the Todd Allbowles Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28.
Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM, and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
CBS News Brief. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin's back at the Pentagon apologizing.